All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers.
You have just stepped into a crust-free zone with Dr. Pat Basile. What is crust? Well, crust is that stuff that stands between you and what you want out of life. Crust is what keeps you stuck. Crust is anything you think, feel, or believe that prevents you from living your deepest heart's desire. So get ready to do some serious crust busting with Dr. Pat Basile and break through those layers of crusty conditioning to reveal the unlimited possibilities available to you to live your life full out. Dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Wow. Welcome, everyone. And thank you all so much for the fabulous emails that you've been sending me, for all of that in the spirit of what we're doing this year. This year's theme, of course, as every year's theme should be this, is Thrive in 05. And you know we've been doing a series of shows about thriving. And so when you sent me these emails and you said, you know, like, who are you going to have to come on to talk about marketing? I said, there's no question in my mind who I am going to ask to join the show to talk about marketing and success. Of course, Jay Abraham, America's number one marketing wizard. And we are talking about marketing miracles. Today's show is so you and me and everyone that you know and you talk to about how to be successful, about taking your dream out into the world. You share this with them in this special conversation we're having today. For those of you that want to know a little bit more, I'll tell you this. Jay has spent the last 25 years solving problems, significantly increasing the bottom lines of over 10,000 clients in more than 400 industries. I hope you have a sense of this. So he has dealt with everything that you could possibly throw at him. Every question, every concern, every challenge, every opportunity. And we are talking about someone that the USA Today quotes regularly, New York Times, LA Times, Washington Post. He has been many, many places in the media, and we are honored to have him here today. Jay, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Oh, it's my great pleasure, Pat.
You know, thriving in 05 is what we're talking about. And, you know, I have to tell you, my listeners say to me, you know, look, Pat, you sound upbeat all the time. Have you ever had a bad day? And out of that comes this question that I've asked everyone that I've ever talked with. And that is, look, Jay, look at you doing this fabulous work. What are some of the challenges? What are some of the obstacles that you personally have had to bust through so to bring you to this very moment?
That's a great question. Excuse me. And I apologize to everyone. I'm a bit ill today, so I'm going to probably sound nasal. I probably, in order, I mean, there's a lot of challenges. I think life is about overcoming challenges. But when I first got started in the world, I was 18, married. I had two kids when I was 20, no education. I got fired from my first job the day we moved into our apartment, and I had no car and had to take three buses home. And, you know, I was challenged to figure out what in the world to do to, you know, put food on the table. I had one of my children about a year later that got mono and pneumonia at the same time, and I had no insurance. Excuse me, and I had to work three jobs full time. They're all performance, and I did it to achieve it. I think that the biggest challenge that I've faced is recognizing that all that security is in life is the faith, the confidence, and the trust you have in yourself and your ability to perform. But I mean, I can list a litany. I could go on for 4 hours. I mean, anybody who purports that their path to prosperity or success is totally uphill is either a deluded, not just optimist, but bipolar, or they're lying, because it's not that way, Pat. There's always setbacks. There's always reversals. The challenge in life is to see how masterfully you rebound, you proactively embrace, and you grow from that. Because I mean, it's very trite, but very little is going to really destroy you. You know, we've had clients owe us $1 million and not pay us, and I don't care who you are, not getting paid $1 million that you planned on really hurts. But You figure plan B, C, D. I learned earlier in my life that having contingency plans is essential. And I always think in terms of the fork in the road. By that I mean, Pat, if you're pursuing one approach, doesn't matter if it's a business issue, a marketing program, you should always ask yourself, if that fails, if that gets in trouble, what else do I do, and have it in reserve. If you think about airplanes, which is what I think about a lot as graphic analogies, they have two or three redundant systems just in case. And if it's good enough to sustain that kind of an adventurous travel, it's probably good enough to sustain the adventure of business or career. But, I mean, I don't know if that's a good answer, but that's my initial answer.
I think it's a great answer because, you know, one of the things I love about what you're talking about, Jay, is, and what I've picked up from your book, getting everything you can out of all you've got, the thing that I pick up is that success, and as you said, your goal is to help people make money. That's not just for me and you and, you know, Donald Trump sitting over there. This is an opportunity that each and every one of us gets to explore if we choose to do it.
Yeah, and I would amend again. I'm never going to try to be confrontational with you, but I'll try to be provocative. I would amend that. My goal is to help people, predominantly business owners and startup entrepreneurs, make a big difference in the lives of their marketplace, because that's the only way you really achieve and sustain great success, prosperity, wealth, and fulfillment.
It is about being in service of something greater than each and every one of us, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. At least that's what I teach. You know, I've met a lot of people that think otherwise, but there's a karmic comeuppance that seems to occur to them sooner or later. And, you know, people I've admired who basically are externally focused, they're the ones who really achieve the greatest enduring success, financial enrichment, and this is a very important factor, Pat, and fulfillment. People think that wealth is purely denominated in monetary terms, and while you do affirmatively need very badly to generate enough income or cash flow to provide for and service your overhead or your lifestyle, once you're beyond that, you start really realizing, that fulfillment, gratification, impact, connection are infinitely greater elements of compensation that you want to get from your visit here on this planet. And I think that a lot of people don't really recognize that.
Yeah. You know, I think you're right. And I don't know about you, but I know I've kind of taken the journey at different parts in my life where, you know, I was on the rat run of, you know, how to get the next biggest promotion or how to do, you know, how to get the, you know, how do I get the new house or how. And, you know, things shift. I don't know what light bulb went on for me, but something did go on, and that's why I do the show that I do. And I'm sure that, you know, for the people that are listening, they totally understand where you're coming from. I have the best listeners anywhere, Jay.
That's great.
And they get it.
Because it takes an enlightened and a very forward-thinking person, you know, to think above day-to-day in the moment. I mean, the more strategic you are in your life, the better off you're going to be. The more clear you are about where you're trying to go, the better off you're going to be. There's a great quote, Pat, that a piece of research I saw a couple of weeks ago. 90% of the people in business, and I would probably say 90% of the people in just in employment, career, servitude, whatever you want to call it, never, ever, ever reach their goals. And the reasons are they don't have any, except for very abstract ones. The ones that have them have never reverse engineered and really clearly documented and blueprinted what has to happen at different stages, and if they're not there, what adjustments they have to make. And I'm pretty adamant about trying to get people to see that that's one of the first, you know, if you don't know where you're going, you're never going to get there.
Uh-huh. I don't know how the ship's going to, you know, and it's interesting you talk about that because, there were times in my life, and I know many of you listening are probably thinking, well, I think I know where I'm going to go. But thinking about knowing where you're going to go, Jay, and actually knowing where you want to go, those are really two very different things, aren't they?
They are. I had a really remarkable client a few years ago, and they grew their business from a $1,000 modest investment in a kitchen table startup to $450 million. And the reason they did it, was that the owner, a wonderfully brilliant entrepreneur, had growth thinking as an integral part of his day-to-day. They would every year sit down for weeks and plan what the next year was going to look like, volume and reverse engineer it. What does that mean we have to do in week 52 and week 51 and week 50? And they would break it all down and they would correlate it, and then they had contingency plans built in, and they never failed to achieve and usually exceed their goal. But most people, they don't hold themselves to a disciplined enough standard. They don't measure and monitor their progress. They don't have a strategy to get themselves anywhere. So it doesn't mean they don't get raises or their business doesn't increase organically, but it pales in comparison to what you could do if you adopted an alternative strategy.
Is that what makes a great company? Maybe let me ask you this. What does make a great company? What separates a great company from a good company?
That's a great question. Excuse me one second, stepping away. I think there are a lot of issues. Let me think if I can try to summarize it. I'm looking because I got notes that I used to take because I study greatness. I study greatness, and many of my dear friends are icons of greatness. And first thing, I think greatness is comes from being externally focused. The next thing, greatness comes from recognizing that your life is about answering questions and being clear on what the questions you're trying to get answers to are. I think greatness is opening your mind to alternative perspectives. My great strength, Pat, has emanated from my ability to look at 460 different industries and borrow the success processes from each one that other industries never knew about. I think greatness has to do with the impact you have on people. And I'm not just talking about employees. Greatness is the impact you have on your loved ones, your children. Greatness is the constant commitment to grow and improve your skills, your knowledge base, your capacity to become greater continuously. And greatness is the desire to see everyone else in your association, whether you work for somebody and you have staff, whether you own a business, you have employees, whether you're husband, wife, father, mother, to want to see everyone else grow and be delighted if they grow beyond you, because that's great achievement.
That's so important, isn't it, Jay? I mean, there's so many people that I run into that, you know, hold greatness in some of the elements you've just talked about, but when it comes to looking at the people around them, there's a different conversation.
Yeah. You know, there was, again, I'm not a stickler, but I remember and very, very, very often re-refer to hauntingly powerful quotes by people I respect. And a colleague of mine is the top executive coach in the country, and he starts at about $250,000 a client and goes up. And he made a comment that I think is absolutely immutable. He said the defining factor of great business achievement in the 21st century will be your ability to creatively collaborate, because no one person has all the pieces or the answers. And if you look at really the greatest successful companies, they're the ones that always feed as an integrated team, and they have mastermind groups. And I just think everyone listening, doesn't matter whether you own a business or ever start one, doesn't matter whether you're a housewife and never going to work, doesn't matter if you're destined to be a an employee. One other thing I would say, and it probably sounds silly because you want to talk about marketing, but I think ideologically and philosophically, you got to first of all set up a foundational base. I'm a firm believer in the Eastern philosophy that says chop wood, carry water.
And oh yeah.
People don't know what that means, but what it means is whatever you do in life, do it full out or stop doing it, because you're stealing from yourself and all the others who depend on you. If you're going to be a janitor, be the best janitor and take pride in the floors and do everything. If you're going to be the CEO and the owner, take pride in motivating, integrating, inspiring, growing your staff and impacting and contributing to your marketplace. But I think that's very important.
I agree with you. I mean, you know, I've kind of come from sort of the same background you do, and I remember sitting there one day and thinking to myself, you know what? I am the best darn hot dog person around here. I could tell you I could make a hot dog better than any with, you know, with one of those wagons like you see in New York City.
Yes.
And I loved it.
That's great. That's great. You know, I was thinking another thing that's really interesting, and again, we're not really talking marketing, but we're talking foundation for success, which may be more foundationally important. You got to surround yourself with people who don't think just like you, because there's no leverage in that.
Mm.
People with different perspectives, different experiences, different attitudes to expand your paradigm. We call it funnel vision versus tunnel vision. And if you look at life, and this is very interesting, and again, now I'm going to relate to businesses, the leading edge businesses in almost every industry you look at are typically the ones that engineer the maximum quantity, quality, and consistency of breakthroughs in marketing, in strategy, in innovation, and in management. You change your marketing, you change your results. You change your strategy, you change your results. Innovation, in my personal opinion, is not what everyone thinks. Everyone thinks it's got to be high-tech, computerized, techno stuff. It can be, but all it really means is the ability to bring greater benefit, value, or advantage to your market, to your employer, to your family, that they recognize and desire exclusively from you. But I think these are real foundational things.
Well, without the strong foundation, right, you can have the best marketing strategy in the world, but I would suspect that it's not going to do very well, will it?
No, well, we have a real simple belief. When I do seminars and programs, you probably know they started 5,000 and go up to 25,000, and we got a $40,000 one we're contemplating doing. We spend most of our time not teaching technique or methods, we teach mindset, because we believe without the right mindset, you know, you can have the greatest retentive ability to spew off a definition of what all the techniques and the principles are, but it won't come alive and integrate if you don't change your paradigm, your mindset. You got to shift the way you look at the situation.
So let me ask you this. I mean, there's a term that I have heard relating to the amazing work that you do, Jay, just absolutely unbelievable. You have been such an inspiration for so many people. And the term that I've heard is miracle marketing. Could you say a little bit about that for the folks that are tuning in today?
Yes, it's a fallacy. The reason I've done so well and the reason that I have achieved such startling and stunning results has less to do with me and more to do with the fact that most people in business and most people in their career and most people in their relationships expect and demand a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of the result or the payoff that a job, a business, an effort, an opportunity, an investment can yield them, because they don't know any better. If I have one gift, it's because I've traveled through so many different industries. I realize how much more you can do with an ad, how much more you can do with a sales opportunity, how much more you can do with a prospect, how much more you can do with a trade show, how much more you can do with radio advertising. And I don't think most people, because they spend all their life almost insulated in one field, have a clue. But I think my greatest gift and the reason I've achieved seemingly miraculous, and they are. I mean, I've taken companies and grown them from 300,000 to 500 million. I've grown them from 20,000 into 13 million in a year and a couple of months. And I've done lots of things like that. But it's because I understand all the revenue-generating, marketing, and money-making activities that most business owners don't understand, because they've not had the opportunity of traveling outside the limitations of their own industry or field.
Well, you bring such richness to the conversation, Jay. I want to just thank you personally so much for, you know, just sharing the different dimensions that you're sharing today with our listeners. And and in answering that question. And you know, one of the things you talked about, it's really interesting you brought up advertising, because one of the things that we do is we offer sponsorships to different people in terms of radio advertising. Yet at the same time, it's a really difficult conversation to have with some folks, you know, it, putting money towards your dream. So what I want to ask you is, what is it that we need to do? What do we need to do as organizations, as people that have what some would call million-dollar ideas? What do we have to do to take our message out in a powerful way?
It's a great question, Pat, but it's also an abstract question. I will try to answer it in a way that anybody can relate to, but again, you've got to stretch a little bit here. First thing you got to do is validate or invalidate whether it really is a million-dollar idea, whether it's a supernova. And you can, and unfortunately, in the scope of the limited time we have today, it's possible to explain, but you can pretest almost anything to see if there's viability. Once, if, and after you've determined that it's viable, then you got to find the best way, the most cost-effective way to take it to market if you're funding it yourself. An easier, faster way is to find the organization, the entity, the publication who already has spent the last 10, 20, 30 years building a strong bond and a great connection to the same target prospective audience you want to reach and doing a joint venture with them. We teach a ton of joint venturing. It's a shortcut. I've grown probably $2 billion worth of profits for my clients by figuring out who already has your market, what do they buy right before, during, and after they buy your product, and figuring out the generic type products, the generic type publications their target market reads, the generic associations, and then looking them up, figuring out who runs them, owns them, contacting them, and then through a very refined process, structuring a joint venture. When I wanted to start doing seminars, which is an interesting story, I didn't go to the outside market and run costly ads. I did one time, and I only did it for positioning. We used to run 20-page ads in the in-flight books, but we did $150 million by going to my past clients, newsletters. Tony Robbins endorsed me, Success Magazine endorsed me, Nightingale Conan endorsed me, 10 newsletters endorsed me. All of those entities had spent hundreds of millions of dollars to acquire their clients or their subscribers or their members, and I was able to get access to them for pennies. And I recommend that as a vehicle for a lot of people, even if they have some capital. And if you don't have a lot of capital but you don't want to give up equity, there's a real cool way you can do it, and that is sell interests in a promotion or in a buyer base or in a product, not in the whole company. That way you can get someone to fund it. He or she's going to be happier because they're going to get a more rapid return than just sinking money into a corporation. You're not going to relinquish any control, and you're going to have your marketing and your selling paid for you.
Wow. You know, there are so many things I guess we could talk about today. And this interview, you have such a wealth of knowledge. It's just wonderful to be able to talk with you. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to take a short break right now as we think about, each and every one of us think about the ideas that we have, listening to what Jay has just said. Think about those ideas and think about how you might partner with someone to take your idea out. We're going to take a short break right now. When we come back, more with Jay Abraham, more with all that you might want to know about how to get everything you can out of all you've got. I'm Dr. Pat, and we'll be right back.
Number one talk and information station, VoiceAmerica.com.
Cleanse, revitalize, and rejuvenate with Isagenics, a unique cleaning nutritional system. Find out why well-known authors Jack Canfield, co-author of the Chicken Soup for the Soul books, and John Gray, author of Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, both use and endorse this amazing nutritional technology. Thousands of people just like you are benefiting from this breakthrough cleansing, nutritional, and fat-burning program. Find out how you can benefit by calling 800-550-0742. That's 800-550-0742. And listen to Crust Busting with Dr. Pat Basile. Don't die. Take control of your health. Cleanse, revitalize, and rejuvenate with Isagenics. Imagine losing 5 to 15 pounds in 9 days with our unique cleansing nutritional system. Call 800-550-0742.
Tune in every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Health Masters with your hosts, Louis Moss and Pam Temple. Each week, Louis and Pam will discuss the latest in health and lifestyle breakthroughs, as well as bring you the Health Master Spotlight of the Week. So get healthy with Louis Moss and Pam Temple on Health Masters every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on America's Voice, VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you ready to move onward and upward physically, emotionally, and spiritually? Shift happens through professional coaching with Brenda Miller. Begin your journey of self-exploration and learning. Join certified professional coach Brenda Miller in a client-coach partnership. For more information, call Brenda at 206-529-8282. That's 206-529-8282. Or visit BrendaMiller.org. That's BrendaMiller.org.
Business, sports, religion, legal, pets, entertainment. You're listening to VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome back to Crossbusting Your Way to an Awesome Life with Dr. Pat. If you would like to participate in today's program, call in at 1-888-335-5204. Now let's join Dr. Pat for some serious crossbusting.
Welcome back, everyone. Oh, an amazing show for you today. Thank you all for listening. Again, I want to mention that you are listening to this show, the Dr. Pat Show, right on here on Voice America. And my special guest today, Jay Abraham, and we are talking about many, many things. I have your questions here as well. And, Jay, thank you so much again for joining the show today.
It's my great pleasure.
You know, one of the questions that I wanted to just put on the table for you is, you know, there's a lot of information these days about what to do now, how businesses today are different from what they were in the past. What are the differences between some of the things that one would do, let's say, 10 years ago and some of the things that one would do today?
Well, there's a couple of differences. The first is the consumer is infinitely better educated because of the Internet. Second is they're more sophisticated, and they don't respond to vacuous propositions. Third is inherently they are benefit-driven. Fourth is they're self-consumed, meaning it's all about them, and if you don't really understand what's called a you attitude, which is marketing just to them, you're not going to do it. Next is you can't make any money selling one thing one time because it costs too much. You've got to be able to get recurring income, and a lot of people who are single product or single service providers don't realize that, and so they have businesses that could be huge money makers, but they limit it tremendously. I've always believed every business is in the business of, number one, identifying their most qualitative prospective audience, generating prospects, you know, either going to them or having them come to them, converting them, increasing the size of the sale ethically by giving them greater value, getting them to come back over and over again, figuring out other products and services to offer when they have nothing else to sell. And I don't think that has changed. I just think that today one approach is hard to succeed with. We teach a concept called the Power Parthenon of geometric business growth, and it advocates that any company that depends on one single source of marketing or income or revenue is at every point in time very exposed. We try to get people to build 8, 9, 10 sources of revenue, profit center, marketing, and it reinforces one another, it penetrates new markets, and it brings a geometric growth to their business that is dramatic. Well, it's actually profound, but I don't know if that's a good answer or not.
Well, is that what you mean? What is the difference then? I think what you're saying has to do with the difference between incremental and exponential growth.
Yeah. Incremental is just slow, laborious increases of 3, 4, 5%. Everything I've done and all the work I've shared with entrepreneurs around the world has been because I had the privilege and the benefit of seeing how to bypass slow, methodical, laborious, tiny organic growth and literally catapult people by hundreds or thousands of percent. And it has to do with, you know, we've got about five elements you can do it with, but it has always to do with letting the power of geometry work for your business. It also has to do with getting your business to constantly work harder for you than you work for it. I got a lot of methods and techniques and stratagems, which I'll be glad if time allows to share a couple of them. But it's more of this big overriding belief.
Well, we do have some time to do that. Why don't we take a few minutes and do that now? And I guess that would be in the spirit of learning from you what some of the most effective of all the marketing you've done. What's some of the most effective marketing that you've done? What are some of those stories?
Well, I mean, it depends. It's like, you know, I've been privileged. I'm involved. I know probably 500 ways to impact a business. You know, when I was starting out, one of our first claims to fame, we didn't have any money, and we found a product that had a very high repeat cycle to it, and nobody ever looked at what the metrics or the numbers or the measurement was. And we found out that every time we sold 10 people one of these products, 8 came back like 10 times a year for life.
And wow.
The 8 that came back, you know, half bought, you know, 2 or 3 other products. And with that knowledge, we were able to offer 100% of the first sale to radio stations, television stations, publications, because we had no money. And we got about $20 million of free advertising the first year and a half and sold about $13 million worth of product and built a 500,000-person buyer base. That was sort of interesting. When I did, I was in the investment business, and we went to a bunch of financial newsletters who had spent a fortune identifying specific types of investors who were paying a premium for the privilege of learning their advice, and we got them to endorse, recommend us, and we grew a company from 3,000 clients to 145,000 in about 18 or 20 months. I mean, I've done so many things, Pat, that no one thing comes to mind. I mean, if you ask me, maybe I can help you. Why don't you ask me what are some foundational, I don't use the word secrets, but factors that I would recommend everybody become aware of and harness?
Absolutely. Let me get that one right on the table, Jay. What are the secrets? What are the secrets out of all that you've learned? What are the secrets that are the folks that are listening today can tap into to really do what you've talked about, move from incremental to exponential?
Well, the first one is, again, you got to understand geometry, and the easiest way to understand it is to understand there's only three primary ways to grow any business. You increase the number of buyers, you increase the size of the transaction, or you increase the frequency, how many times they buy from you over and over again. Most people work just on the first. If you work on all three at the same time, it remarkably increases the results of your business. We use as an example, and it's going to be a little hard on this pure audio broadcast, but we would take a company, a hypothetical company that has 1,000 buyers who are buying $100 unit of sale from them 2 times a year, and show that if you only increase those figures 10%, the combined effect is not 10%, it's 33%. If you double those figures, the combined all three of those categories, the combined effect is not double, it's 800%. Well, there's a lot of different ways that you can have geometry catapult you up. That's the first thing. The second thing is You've got to become masterful at testing, because one way of doing something will quite normally outperform another by a huge margin. I've seen a headline or its equivalent outpull a previous one that a company was using by as much as 21 times. And when I say it's equivalent, you obviously know what a headline is. It's the big blocks of letters above the body copy in a display ad, but there's equivalent. First word you utter when a salesperson approaches a prospect, the first phrases that are stated when somebody calls an order desk, the subject line of an email, you change those and you can change your results. A couple of simple historic examples. We had, by the way, and you can test lots of factors. Headlines are the first thing to test.
Uh-huh.
So we had a client one time who sold gold, and they sold it on a bank-financed loan basis, and they ran ads in the Wall Street Journal that said two-thirds bank financing on silver and gold. And then they had, you know, a very basic copy that got people to call for more information. I took the two-thirds bank financing on silver and gold. I took those seven words, stripped them out, tested five different replacements, and found one that made the same ad, the same advertising, pull literally five times more.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. And the winning ad we used, and this will demonstrate something else because it's got to be benefit-oriented, was if gold is selling for $300 an ounce, send us just $100 an ounce, and we'll buy you all the gold you want. Well, it sounds similar to the previous one, but it's very different. It's more benefit-oriented. The other one's more of a declarative statement.
Actually, for me, when you just did that,
yes,
the second one grabbed me emotionally.
Yeah, it does.
It hit me like, and, you know, and I said to myself, wow, I'm not really sure about that, but I know I want it.
Yeah, there's a lot of science to this. Marketing is not art. A lot of people get intimidated, and I'd like to demystify it. It's almost all science. There are mechanics that, if you know, I'm probably better at it than one of your listeners might be, just because I have 30 years and 460 industries and 50,000 experiments and all my experiences. But there are mechanics that are infallible, and they will not fail you if you use them. The next thing I would say after you work on the geometry, testing. I was going to say we tested one time for a retail store, a large one, 33 different ways to greet people when they walked in the door. And one of those ways increased closures or sales by three times. We were getting about 1,000 people a week to visit, and we were closing 150, 15%. By changing our headline or our opening phrase, we moved that 150 to 450, and it added about $300,000 a week pure profit to our bottom line. That's the kind of power in the stuff I'm talking about. You can also test price. I've seen a change in price from $15 to $19 triple the response, nothing else. I've seen a price of $8,777 underpull a price of $9,999 because it was a better psychological price. You've got to test things. The other things that are important is risk reversal. Anytime any two people come together to transact business, Pat, one side is always asking the other, either knowingly or unknowingly, consciously or subconsciously, implicitly or explicitly, to take on all, most, or more than all the risk. If you can identify what the risk is in the transaction and you can eliminate it or dramatically reduce it, you make it easier for a prospective buyer to say yes than no.
Let's use an example. Can you give us an example of that? Something very specific for our listeners.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Risk reversal. When we do, I just got back from Singapore. We had about 500 people in a $4,000 event. And you could do the math. It's
okay.
Not unrespectable. They came because we offered them the right to leave any time up to the last second of the last minute of the last hour of the last day if I didn't give them an experience worth many times the $4,000 they paid. When I taught a CPA friend of mine risk reversal, he specialized in something called succession planning, which is planning for sale or passing on your business to someone else. And he started testing a proposition to business owners if he couldn't show them that his recommendations would make them at least three times more than they paid. He wouldn't send them a bill, and they became the number 33 largest accounting firm in the country. Domino's, when they first came out, really and truly, the key to their success was hot, fresh, delicious pizza delivered to your door in 30 minutes or less, or it's yours free. Federal Express, when they first came out, said when it has to be there by 10 o'clock, FedEx, or you pay nothing. And it relieves the risk. I had a lot of consultants. He got Harley Davidson as his first client because he said to them, if I don't ROI at least 20 times what you pay me, I'll return a pro rata of my fee up to 100%. Is that enough?
Wow.
Let me give you one more example because it's a cute one. It's an old one.
All right.
And this will give a little bit better graphic illustration to your listeners. There was a man who wanted to buy a pony for his daughter. There were two ponies for sale. Both of them were very nice looking and looked gentle, etc. The first man wanted $500 for his pony and said, you buy it, you own it. You can ride her first, but in my stables. The father went to the second man, and the second man said, my pony is kind, gentle, loving, and loyal. We feel terrible that we're selling it, but our kids have grown up and aren't there to take care of it. It means a lot to me for you to be right for the pony and the pony to be right for you, so I'll be happy to deliver the pony to your farm or your ranch for 30 days to let you and your daughter, experience it, make sure you're right. I'll provide the feed for that 30 days. At the end of 30 days, I'll come and either get a check or take the pony away, and if I take it away, I'll clean up all the mess. Now, which of those two ponies would you buy?
Oh, you got to be kidding. It's kind of like it's so obvious, isn't it? What a different sound. I mean, what a different feel to what you've just described.
Yeah, so,
I mean, it's totally...
And there's a lot of nuances. Because we've looked at 460 or so industries, not companies, we've identified tons of ways. Another thing that's very interesting to me, at least, most small and a lot of medium-sized companies are not marketing-oriented. Their growth is a byproduct of word-of-mouth or referrals. And
yes,
not one of them, or very few of them, have even one formalized, strategic, systemized referral-based, referral-generating system in place. We studied the world over and found 93 unduplicated systems you can use to generate referrals with no cost. And people don't realize a referral-generated buyer, number one, buys quicker, so they start rebuying faster again and again. They negotiate less, so they're more profitable. They buy more things at the point of sale. They buy more often. They are more enjoyable to deal with. They stay longer. And they refer more people, which cost you nothing, and yet most people spend all their money on advertising that doesn't work, or all kinds of stuff that, is secondary to that which is right in front of your nose.
You know, that's very interesting because I have experienced that in the radio business. It's really funny that you mention it. I hadn't really thought about it that way. And, the show has gotten so popular that, people are catching me on my way into the bank. But one of the things that I noticed, as much money as you can spend in trying to promote, people that are talking to other people, that are telling their friends, that are then telling other people, those are the people that send in the emails.
Yeah, no, you're right. And a very good friend of mine, Stephen M. R. Covey, is doing a new book on trust.
Yes.
And he has analyzed that it's the secret element.
Mm-hmm.
Monstrous success in this century, because the faster you have trust, the faster people commit, the more they entrust you with their money, with their decision, with their fate and destiny. So I don't want to get too abstract, but we deal in a lot of different factors. I studied the business building process from you know, from a CAT scan perspective, and we have a lot of different things that we teach. So if you want to ask me a couple, those are some of the foundational ones. There's so many more that, you know, it could take me, you know, I do 86-hour seminars and don't get it all in, so there's a lot of stuff.
Well, you know, it's really funny that you mentioned Stephen Covey. He is actually going to be on next week. I had a conversation with him. He and I have the same thing in common. Trust is something we both work on. I've done papers and won research awards on my work in trust. And it actually comes from a place, you know, Jay, of my experience in the workplace going through downsizing and really getting a sense of what it feels like to be out of trust or to be in relationship with people that are out of trust. And so that leads me to a question I want to talk to you about and follow up with some additional comments you'd like to make about this. You know, what kinds of things do we all and the people listening, what do we need to be aware of right now to prepare ourselves for the future? What kinds of things do we have to get under our belt? I know trust is something you just mentioned. I don't know. Is that one of them?
Oh, sure. It's absolutely, because it's the foundation of your future. It's I mean, with loyalty being what it is, you got to work very hard, and you can't build trust unless you're externally focused. We try to teach people something called the strategy of preeminence, which is to set your business up as the most trusted advisor your prospective buyer could possibly turn to. And as their most trusted advisor, you can't sell them less than they need or more than they need. You got to sell them the right quantity, quality, and combination of products and services and get them to buy at the right frequency, because most people don't buy the best choice and don't buy the best combinations and don't buy often enough. You got to basically fall in love, not with your business or your product or your service, but with the people you serve, because that's the preemptive advantage. You got, as I said, you can't build a business on one revenue stream anymore because it's too treacherous. You got to have multiple what I'll call levers or impact points or sources of marketing and income working for you all the time. That's probably a good start.
Well, so one of the things I get from what you're talking about is something that I don't know if we really had this conversation, but you talked about right at the top of the show, you talked about collaboration and how important it is. And yet at the same time, you know, in one of the fields I'm in, organizational consulting and working with organizations, you know, I find people wanting to cut out the kinds of training, the kinds of development that would have people be successful at that. It's almost paradoxical, Jay, and I'd like for you to touch on that for a minute, because you did say how important it is to collaborate, how important it is for us to develop the skills to do all of this.
Well, I'll answer you in, I think, three ways, and I'll integrate it if I can. And again, apologies because my sinuses are acting up. First of all, if you look at every great achiever, every great business owner, they have all, I'm fortunate, have had mentors, mastermind groups, and advisors from outside that gave them perspective, gave them maturity, gave them sobriety, gave them vision, gave them a heightened sense of possibility. We all need to be accountable to somebody else, because we'll become complacent or we'll plateau. Number two is training is probably the key to everything you achieve. We believe we don't really like event training, although we do it because it's done to change your mindset. We like process training, and the best example I can give of it is if you look at a pilot, if you look at someone in the military, if you look at a doctor, the doctor, let's start with the last one first, the doctor didn't enroll in medical school, get issued a physician's desk reference desk encyclopedia in Gray's Anatomy and be given a scalpel and say, go into the operating theater, you're doing open heart surgery. He or she had to read like mad, they had to work on animals, and they had to work on cadavers, and they had to watch, and they got to hold the skin together when they sutured it, and they kept doing one more progressive step. That's how you gain proficiency. If you look at pilots, airplane pilots, they didn't go the first day and go you know, sit in a simulator and experience and be given the keys to a 747. They had to do, they had to study, you know, aerodynamics. They had to study the whole process. They had to do the simulator. They had to sit and watch. They had to hold the stick. It's a process. With proficiency, think about whatever anybody listening on this interview who has any hobby. Golf, running, tennis, weightlifting, skiing. The odds of you, if you're a skier, being able to do a double black diamond the first time you went out was very low. The odds of you being able to lift 400 pounds the first time you started lifting was very low. The odds of you running 10 miles in a marathon the first time you decided to run was very low. You have to progress. And I think a lot of us think in terms of not only instant gratification, but instant achievement. It's a fallacy. I mean, you could be better, but you're not going to be great unless you commit constantly to recurring and continuous training and proficiency.
Well, thank you, Jay Abraham. Thank you so much for joining this show today. I want to ask you in parting right now, how do you want to be remembered? When someone talks about Jay Abraham, what do you want them to talk about?
I have been asked it before. You know, when I started, I was probably more arrogant and egotistical, and I liked standing ovations. Now I don't want any of that. I want people to go out and do things. I want them to make a difference. I want them to optimize, get the maximum result they possibly can from the minimum time, effort, and expense. I want them to become strategic, not tactical. I want them to make people's lives better every time they interact with them. And I want people to contribute to one another and give back. And if that's, you know, that's sort of the purpose of my life. That doesn't mean I don't like making money. I like making money, and I have high lifestyle and all kinds of creature comforts. But that's really where I'm focused mostly.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining the show today. You know, I think I'm going to have a sidebar conversation with you to talk about how to take this crust-busting concept out into the world. For those of you that are listening, please go to www.abraham.com. You can join the newsletter to find out and get updates from Jay on a periodic basis. Of course, the book is there, Getting Everything You Can Out of All You've Gotten, and, of course, our mutual friend Stephen Covey raves about this book, and so do so many other people. Thank you, Jay, so much. Thank you for joining the show today, and thank you for the great work that you're doing.
You're very gracious. It's my great pleasure. Thanks, Pat.
You're welcome. And those of you listening, stay tuned next week as well. Someone we did mention in this interview, Dr. Stephen Covey, will be with me, and we will be talking about trust. So for those of you listening, break through, be all you can be, live life full out, each day, every day, this day. Have a great one.
Thank you for joining us today for Crust Busting with Dr. Pat Basile. Crust Busting with Dr. Pat can be heard live every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time on voiceamerica.com. For a copy of today's program or to learn more about Crust Busting, visit www.crustbusting.com.